Okay, just to recap a little bit what we saw yesterday, and to correct one thing that came up that someone brought up and I said, oh yeah, and then I realized it's not connected, so I want to correct that. We talked about this Betulani Seit Liyoma Revi'i. So we have, I forgot to give you this.
No, I'm good.
Okay,
I'm good.
Fine. So Betulani Seit Liyoma Revi'i. So she gets married on Wednesday, Almana Liyoma Chamishi. We said that there were different reasons given, either because the Batei Dinim were open on Mondays and Thursdays, which then raised the question, why not Sunday? Which the Gemara then answered that there was an additional thing, which is also that they wanted the husband to work on the Seudah for 3 days. We gave one reason yesterday, being that because he would be more committed and he wouldn't just run off and say Tana Petulim even if it wasn't really true. Like, we don't want him. On the one hand, we want him to come and say Tana Petulim if it's true, but if it's not true and he just wants to get rid of his wife quickly, we want him to do that. There was another reason given. Now it's eluding me, 1 second. There was another reason given why Shakadu, right? And we're going to see it again today, this Shakadu, that
we
the rabbis wanted to make sure.
We wanted him to come with a Tana Petulim? In other words, he had to
be
here.
So,
what?
Yeah, we very much want him to come. That's the whole kivun of the Gemara, that if she doesn't have Petulim, we want him to come. And we said we're not sure exactly why. One possible reason might be because we're suspect that she slept with someone else once she was engaged, in which case she'd be forbidden to him. And we want to make sure that he doesn't sleep with her after that because it's a sore. That's one possible reason. Another thing could be, right, I don't know why else the Beit Din would be so concerned, because for him it's just a financial issue, right? The additional thing is, let's say she wasn't a betula for a different reason, because she had sex with someone before they were engaged, then she wouldn't be forbidden to him, or let's say she was raped, then also he promised her 2,000 zuz in the ketubah because she was a betula. And right, if you notice in the ketubah, it always says betultadan, right? The betula. But if she's not a betula, then she gets less money. She only gets meazu. So it's also a financial thing. Okay, so
I'm already feeling angry.
Sorry,
her fault.
Nothing to
yes.
do with
okay. Right.
Don't get
heat
on the
things
still
affect
us today.
Yes, they do. Okay, but nowadays, I think, unless she was already married, I think we always assume she's a betula. We don't distinguish between,
you don't go into those details.
Right. Nobody asks those questions. They call her betula. The second reason why Shakdu is eluding me, I want to see if I can find it. There was one, what was it? That I can't find where it is. Here. Give me a second. Right. We want to make sure that the husband, the idea is that he's not dealing with just the wedding suda, he's dealing with preparing for all the Shivat Yemei HaMishteh, the Sheva Brachot. And we want to make sure he does all the preparations before, otherwise he's not going to attend a special mitzvah to be Mesameh Kala during that week. And we don't want him to be busy with wedding preparations, so we have him do it. We make sure there's enough time to do it earlier. Okay. The third reason given was the dagim. The dagim were created, and it says vayivarech otam Elohim. Someone mentioned the pamayim kitov. That's on Tuesday. That's not relevant to this. Okay, that was a separate thing. I don't know. I didn't look up, but I don't remember where that comes up from. But I think that's a much later thing. That doesn't appear here at all. I just wanted to correct that. That's not relevant here. Okay. So. Then what we said was that we accepted ta'anat ones, right? If he, as we learned from here, that if he doesn't, what was the relevance of our Mishnah? That if the year is up between the time of the Erisin to the Nisuin, when the clock is supposed to start ticking for Mizonot, what do we say? That he has to start paying immediately, but not until Wednesday of that week. He has to Wednesday because it wasn't his fault. So then we say, well, what if it wasn't his fault because he was sick or she was sick and all that? And we basically say that we accept a ta'ana of ones to allow him to say, I don't have to pay you mizono now. And then Rava said, for gittin, it's not the case. And we say that Rava must hold ein ones begittin. And then what we did was, okay, you can look at the chart now. I finished making the chart. And now it's important that we get this straight because we're going to do the whole sugya flip today. We're going to say, there are some who say that Rava says dafka the opposite, le'inyan gittin, it is the case, and yesh onus begittin, and then all the things that we tried to do yesterday was to bring proofs for Rava's shita, one from a Mishnah, then from another Mishnah, then, right, we tried to re-explain the Mishnah to show proof for him. We kept rejecting it, Then we brought a maaseh that happened in the time of the Amoraim to prove it. We couldn't prove it from there. And in the end, we say he said his own opinion, which we'll get to in a minute. That's where we left off. But what we're going to do today is we're going to see Yesh Ones Begidin according to Rava. Then we're going to flip the whole thing and we're going to say, well, all these sources you tried to bring as proofs, they should really be contradictions to his shita. And then we're going to basically say, no, just like we said, you can't prove from here, we're going to also say you can't be makshe from here. And we're going to answer it up in the exact same way. So it's the mirror image of the sugya. Okay? So today what I also did was, to make it more clear, I brought the Mishnayot from Gidin and Perek Zion that they're quoting on the sheet, so you can follow on the sheet. Okay, here are the sources that we're going to start with, okay? So look where it says Mishnah Masechet Gidin Perek Zion Mishnah Gimel. Zegitech im mati. Zegitech im mati micholi ze. By the way, this is a different version of the one that we had. We didn't have the word im mati micholi ze. It said zegitech micholi ze. Okay, which wasn't 100% clear what it means. Now it's more clear. I'll explain in a minute. Zegitech la'achar mita lo amar klum. Okay, if he says, this is your get if I die, this is your get if I die from this sickness. Let's say he's sick and he says, if I die from this sickness, this will be your get. This is your get after I die. He lo amar klum. It's not relevant. Okay? That teaches you, ain't get la'achar mita. That's what we saw yesterday.
The lo amar klum is just on the last piece.
Meaning what?
Zegitech la'achar mita. It doesn't
all reverse. Of them. No, all of those cases are no good. This is your get if I die. It's no good because when he dies, he can't give a get after his death. Mm-hmm. Ain't get la'achar mita. So none of these cases work. They're all basically the same. It's saying if I'm to die from a sickness, from this, or after I die, however
they're
he words
the
it,
thing.
They're all the same. It doesn't work. Then we have, now if you jump, this is Mishnah Gimel. Okay, then there was the second case. Mehayom imati, or me'achshav imati. This is you get from now, if I'm to die in the future. Then, what do we say? The get starts ticking. The clock starts ticking now. And therefore, what are we going to say? The get works. Because the whole issue is, we have to have the chalut haget at a time when he's alive. That's the Mishnah. Now jump to Mishnah Chet. Okay, this will be your get if I don't come from now until 12 months from now. And then what happens? Umeit b'toch 12 chodesh. He happens to die. Eino get. Okay, this is not a good get. Why is it not a good get? Because again, right, what do we say here? Ein get la'achar mita, right? So the Gemara tried to say here, why don't we prove it from this Mishnah? Because what does it say in this Mishnah? Okay, let me just review. It says, if he dies, right, ain't a get, right? This is not a get, right? And then, what did we say? If he dies, it's not a get, right? But that would assume that if he just got sick, the Mishnah doesn't mention the case of getting sick. Why? Because the assumption is if he gets sick, it would be a get, right? Hareze get, okay? That's what we would assume. And if we say hareze get, what does that show? Ain onsin begitin. He was sick, it was ones, and yet we still say the get is good. So that's the Gemara's attempt to try to prove Rava. And then the Gemara says, no, you could say that this is coming to teach you just the case of mate, and you would say, ain get la'achar mita. So then the Gemara's question was, but wait, we already learned in Mishnah Gimel, ain get la'achar mita. So why are you using this to prove ain get la'achar mita? And then they say, no, because what could you say that, it's that while the first case is agreed upon everybody, Mishnah Gimel, that ain't get la'achar mita in that case. But this case, okay, this case is a little different because in this case they had a braita, they had a tradition that Rabotenu Hitiru in this case, specifically the case where he says, if I don't come until 12 months from now, and then, or any time period, right, and then he dies, that Chachamim say that's a good get, and they say it based on Rabbi Yossi, who says, Zmano shel shtar mochiach alav. The assumption is that you have to, what's not 100% clear here is, what's the difference between Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Chet? Why is Mishnah Chet, Rabotenu would be matir and say it goes by the date, and Mishnah Gimel, Zegitech imati, Zegitech, right, doesn't have a date. We assume it doesn't have a date, or if it does, we don't go by the date. So that's a bit of a question, which there's no perfect answer to that, okay? The Ramban tries to explain that the nisuach, the way he words it, and maybe because in this one, at least there's a 12-month time period, right? There's a closed time period. So you could say the clock starts ticking now, at least according to Rabbanan. But the other one, harezek yitech, if I die, that's already too open-ended. You can't really say that there's a date connected with that. So you'd have to distinguish between them. So the point being then, how does that relate to us? Because even though we already learned Ein Gelach Harmita, in this Mishnah specifically, there was a tradition that Rabotenu disagreed, and therefore this Mishnah is coming to tell you, we disagree with Chachamim. We think that in this case, okay, the person who wrote the Mishnah is saying, we think in this case it's Eino Get, against Chachamim, who would say this is a Get. Okay, because we have this tradition of Chachamim Hitiruli Naseh, meaning they allowed her to get married. Okay, in which case, what are we proving? That this does come to teach you Ein Get La Harmita. It's being, and what's it saying more so than Mishnah Gimel? It's saying, even in this case, we say Ein Get La Harmita to be, you know, to say that we don't hold by those who think Yesh Get La Harmita. In this case, okay? That's where we got to. Then we had, the last case was, okay, you can follow on the chart here, the last case was this Maaseh, where the guy says, if I don't come until 30 days, this will be your get. He comes after 30 days, and actually, I think I explained this a little bit, not perfectly. He comes at the end of 30 days, upaskei mabara, I think what happened was the water came and overflowed the city. And because of that, he couldn't get to the other side. In other words, it wasn't just he was on the other side and came a little late. It was that the water overflowed, and as a result, there became this river that blocked him from going over to the other side. And they're saying, since, okay, so that, and therefore, and he says, look, I'm here, even though he really wasn't there yet. And Shmuel says, sorry, you didn't come, it's not considered, and your wife now has a get. So they tried to prove, what do you see here? That's onus, right? And what do we say? Ein onus begin. But the Gemara says, no, because maybe onus, which is very common, it's very common that, certainly in this town, I assume, right, that the water would overflow, right? It doesn't happen here in Manana very often, but the water would overflow and come into the city and create this you know, river or whatever, however you would call it. And therefore, he should have said, unless, you know, this will be again if I come within 30 days, unless the water overflows and I can't get there. Okay? He should have added that since it's a very common occurrence. So therefore, that's why he gets messed up, but not because Ein Onus Begin. By the way, I taught this last night to my Gemara Chug for Girls. This sugya exactly appears, this case appears in Gittin, in this sugya that's all about Giloy Dad, that he reveals what he was thinking. Okay, in other words, he doesn't actually say it, but it's clear what his intent is. It's clear he doesn't intend to give a get in this case, right? He's trying to come back to the city, and it's clear he's not intending to give the get. And the Gemara basically says, this is either you say this is Ein Onus Begittin here, and it does say it's Ein Onus Begittin. Here the Gemara is just saying, you can't be conclusive, right? All this is just trying to say, we can't give conclusive evidence that Rava can prove it from here, because you could explain it some other way. But really, the Gemara there assumes that this is an Onus Begittin case, okay? Or maybe a Giloy Dad issue, which, okay, we're not going to get into that now. We'll see this sugya again when we get to Gittin.
It's not the right time for this question necessarily. Okay. Does she have to accept it? Like, if he's written it, and does the fact that it exists make it a problem?
Yeah, so the girls asked that last night also. What if she just doesn't, right? She knows it's not going to be a get, and she just says, oh, so I don't, you know,
either she doesn't accept it or she doesn't even tell
anyone. Okay, so first of all, it could be the woman wants the get, because you have to... It could be, right? It's not clear why he's not around, but it's very possible he's not around because he doesn't want to give the, you know, they're not living together anymore. And he's just not around. And, you know, and he's playing games here. It's possible. Or it's possible, now the issue is this. According to rabbinic law, she doesn't need to accept the get. You know, the get needs to come into her possession, but she doesn't need to accept it. Only from Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom did he institute that women can't be given a get against their will. So I don't think that that's a factor here. Okay? Okay. So now, we're getting now to the very end of the daf. We'll look inside now. Three lines from the bottom of Bet Amud Bet. Ela Rava Svara Dinashe Kamar. He had his own. We can't prove it. Now again, it's possible you could prove it from these Mishnayot. It's possible you could prove it from that case. But it's not 100% clear because you could explain each of the sources otherwise. So now the Gemara is suggesting that maybe he had his own thinking. Okay? Mishum, okay, so Sharon, you were not happy before. Now you can start to look up, okay? Mishum tsnuot and mishum prutzot. What is this? Mishum tsnuot, di'i amar lo lihave get, zimnin delo anis, besavra de anis, umi agna viyatva. What does that mean? this new old, you're going to say, well, my husband said this will be my get if it doesn't, if he doesn't show up within 30 days. Now, he doesn't show up within 30 days. So now this Sanua woman, she's sitting there and thinking, well, maybe it was, maybe something happened. Maybe he couldn't get here. Maybe, who knows? And she makes up all these stories in her head, and she thinks, therefore, my get might not be a good get. And she doesn't get remarried based on that. And it's going to create a situation of agunot. Okay, and Rava doesn't want a situation of women being agunot. Here you have it, okay? He doesn't want it, and because of that, he's going to say, we allow the get to be a get, okay? She gets a get no matter what. We don't accept tana ones because it's going to create a situation of agunot. Now, the two biggest problems we're going to see now, agunot and mamzerut. So now we're going to see the mamzerut issue. Umishum prutzot is after the opposite. De'i amar lo lehavigita zimnin de'anis va'amra lo anis va'az lo min seba v'nimtza get batel u'baneha mamzerim. If we say this isn't a get, right, then what's going to happen? Maybe he will be anus. Now, it's unclear. The Mefarshim have a disagreement about whether she knows this or doesn't know it. Okay? But either which way, this woman, so either she's like a really bad person or she's just, you know, not being super careful. She says, you know, her husband doesn't show up because he's anus, but she says, he didn't show up. I'm going to get remarried. This is my get. I'm going to marry whoever. She goes and gets remarried, and it turns out that her get was a get because he really couldn't come. I'm sorry, her get was not a get because he couldn't come. He was stuck. He was sick. He, something happened. He couldn't get there. And in the end, she's going to end up, he's going to show up a year later and say, listen, I tried to get here, but I couldn't. And she's already got a baby from her new husband and, you know, big problems. So that's going to create mamzerut problems. So therefore, he says, we can't have a situation where this get is potentially good, potentially not good. We'll only find out years later. That's just not a good situation. So therefore, he paskins, or at least the Gemara says that must be his reasoning. Okay, again, this isn't Rava. This is the Gemara guessing what his reason is. And therefore, we're going to basically accept this get and assume that there's no ta'anat onus begi. So now the Gemara asks, and here we get to the really good stuff. Umi'i kamidi timidi oraita lo lehavi get and mishum tsnuot and mishum prutzot shirina and eshet ish la'alma. What have we learned all along? The get has to be given with the husband's will. If he gives this get and was not intending to give this get because he was trying to get back home, so how could we come and say that this get is a good get? It was given against his wishes. He might not be here to tell us that, but he's somewhere else. He's trying to get back home. He can't get back home. Okay? And, right, it reminds me, I was in Russia for a summer doing this program, and unfortunately, one of the people on the thing, their mother died. And we were out in the middle of nowhere, and we were trying to get back, and they said, oh, sorry, the bridge to Odessa is closed. You just, you know, you won't be able to get there for like, you'll have to go all the way around. It'll take you a whole day to get there. Yeah, it was like this edge, oh, sorry, you know, like the road's closed, emala, so you won't get back to your mother's funeral. So it's like that added, right? In other words, he's trying to get there, and he can't, right? Something happened, and something blocked his way. It wasn't anticipated, and there was just no way to get there.
He wrote it.
Well, first of all, he didn't write it. He said, you know, well, right, or he wrote it, or he told them, give a get to my wife if I don't show up. Like, it could be just a kitvu tnu. He says, fine, give it in my name. But it was bitnai. He wasn't intending. In other words, he's somewhere else now. He wants to get back home. He doesn't want that get to be a get. So even though he wrote it, he doesn't want it to be valid. And you have to have intent at the moment you give the get. If you don't have intent at the moment you give the get, then it's no good. Or the moment you send it with a shaliach, you still have time to cancel it as long as it hasn't arrived at the woman's doorstep, right, in her hands. So basically, all that time, if you change your mind, okay, in Gittin, that's what I'm teaching to the girls. It's a great parak, HaShaliach Get. We get the fourth parak of Gittin. It's all about these cases where men gave a get and then changed their mind and canceled it. And then they forced them again to give the get. And in one case, we learn they tell them, stick a pumpkin in your ear to the Edim so that they don't hear the guy telling them, don't give the get. Because they finally, after three times, the guy finally, you know, stops. He keeps giving it and canceling it, giving it and canceling it. And then they say, stick a pumpkin in your ear so that you won't hear what he's saying. Okay, that's actually the Giloy Dat Sugya, where, you know, what if he's like, you know, showing, don't do it, but if they don't hear what he's saying, then it's not relevant. Okay, that's the position. The Giloy Dat doesn't count. So anyway, so now they say, if Mida Oraita, this is not a good get, how could we matir Eshadish? Mida Oraita, he had no intent. She now is a married woman, midoraita, and the rabbis are saying, because of Mamzerut, because of Agunot, we're going to say, you know, we know better than the Torah, right? We're going to basically say we go against the Torah, and it's considered again. So now, this is we learned this before, actually. They can do that. The rabbis have the power, okay? Here's the big line. Called Mekadesh, Adat HaDerabana Mekadesh, Gavkeina Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Mineh. Okay, three sugars where this appears. In Ketub, in Yevamot we learned it, and it appears in Gittin, and it appears here. There's particular cases where we say the rabbis have the power to basically uproot the marriage from the beginning. Because what do they say? Anyone who gets married Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, according to the way the rabbis said, and therefore you've accepted it under certain terms and conditions. And if you go against those terms and conditions, then the rabbis have the power to basically say we can uproot the marriage. And this is a big thing nowadays that they're trying to say, can we extend Afke'inu to other situations? And most of the cases where Afke'inu was mentioned, or maybe even all of them, have to do with the case, and this is what Cherry said, he did write again. In other words, there is some sort of, it's not like we're just saying we're going to uproot this marriage, but there was some sort of a get. Like in other cases where he gave a get and then he canceled it in a way that you're not really allowed to cancel it. And there's different, right? So it's you can't just jump and, right? And the rabbis are careful nowadays not to just jump and use it in so many cases because they'll only use it in particular cases. But the question is, can you use this as a potential way to resolve certain aguna cases? And that's the big question nowadays. How far are people willing to go to use this in other situations? Okay, so now they say, exactly like we had in Yevamot, Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi, Tinach de Kaddish b'kaspa, Kaddish b'biyah ma'ika le'meimar. We understand if they got married with money, okay, or with something money value, like a ring, like we do. Okay, we learned already. Kesef, shtar, or bia, you could get married. We understand if it's with money. Why? Because money, the rabbis can say, rabbis have the power, it's called hefker beit din hefker. They can come in and take one person's money and say it belongs to somebody else. So they could say this money that you gave to this woman for the purposes of marriage became a gift and not for the purposes of marriage. It was just a gift you gave her. But Kaddish b'bia, but if you had sex with her to get married, that you got married with bia, which again we talked about, you're not supposed to, but midoraita you can. Let's say they were Kaddish b'bia. How can they say you didn't have sex with her or that the sex meant something else? So they say, no, you actually can say it. Shavi Rabbanan the Bilato Bilatznut. You could just say it was a Bilatznut. He slept with some woman outside of marriage, right? And that's what it was. Okay? So that's their answer. That's how they say Afke'inu. Okay. Now we're going to learn, like I said, the whole sugya flipped. Ika de Amri, some people say, Amar Rava, Bechein le'inyan gittin, okay? Just like in Kiddushin with the ketubah issue about can he start, does the clock start ticking for the mezono? We can say, no, if there's ta'anat ones, we can say, we accept ta'anat ones. Likewise, for gittin, Alma kasava Rava, from here we can conclude that Rava holds, yesh ones begittin. Okay, so now we're going to see, okay, I didn't make a separate chart for this, but you can just look back. All the ones we brought as proof, we're now going to bring as contradictions to this option, okay? So we'll read it inside now. It'll be a good review for yesterday. Meitive, okay? Meitive means we're asking a question from a Makor Tana'i on an Emora. An Emora generally can't disagree with a Tana'itic source unless he can either explain it some other way, say it's only talking about particular cases. He can say, I have a different Tana that supports my opinion and that disagrees with this one, but it's, you know, you always have to come up with some answer. Hare zegi techim lobati mikam bad 12 chodesh, ume petoch 12 chodesh, eino get. So now what do they assume here, just like we have on the board here? If he dies, eino get, but ha chala, hare ze get. If he would have been sick, it would be a get, which means ain onus begitin, right? And Rava says, yesh onus begitin, okay? Because the get would be a get if it was a case of onus. So if it's a case of onus and we say the get is a good get, it means we don't accept ta'anat onus. And yet Rava says, according to this reading, yesh onus begitin. So now what do they answer? Lo'olam emelecha chalan nami eino get. Just because this Mishnah was talking about a case of mate, it doesn't mean the chala would be a get. No, it just wasn't relating to chala. But if he got sick, it would also not be a get. But why does it only talk about the mate case? Because he gufa kamashman. This thing is coming to teach us. De'ein get la'achar mita. That was the whole purpose of the Mishnah, was to talk about specifically a death case, because it wanted to teach us ein get la'achar mita. So obviously, where's the Gemara going to go with this? Ein get la'achar mita ha'tana l'resha. Didn't we learn that already in Mishnah Gimel? Right? That was, doesn't need to teach in Mishnah Zayin. So now the answer, now here the Gemara is smart. They don't repeat the whole long Mishnah because they know you know it because you learned it yesterday, okay, or whenever you learned the page before. So the answer, again, no. They still need to teach you Ein Get La Karmita, in this case particularly because Dilma La'afu came into Rabboteinu. Okay, maybe it was coming to disagree with Chachamim, who in this particular case, in Lobat V'Kamat Shnei Masar Chodesh, disagreed with the basic opinion. Okay, so he wants to say, I disagree with Rabbanan, the author of this Mishnah, and I think they ain't get lachar mita even in this case. And therefore, it's only talking about mita, and you can't conclude anything from here about get, and therefore it's not a contradiction to Rabba's opinion. Next case, tashma, let's learn it from here, that we have a problem with his shita. Me'achshav, im lo bati mikam ba'ad shnei masar chodesh, u'mei b'toch shnei masar chodesh, harei ze get. So now we had the case of, this will be your get from now, if I don't come from now until Shnei Masar Chodesh, and he dies b'toch Shnei Masar Chodesh. Oh, by the way, in my review of the sugya yesterday, I forgot to review this one. Anyway, now we're reviewing it. So if he dies within 12 months, what do we say? Harei ze get. Why? Because he said, me'achshav, right? Which means that the clock starts ticking now, right? The get is considered a get from now, according to all the shitot, not just Rabbanan, but according to all the shitot. So now, what do they assume? If he says in lobat mikam bat shnei masar chodesh, and then he dies, what's the most anus? Dying or getting sick? The most anus is dying, right? Because even if you're sick, maybe you could somehow get there, okay? So, what is the assumption? If dying, it would still be considered a get, and that's really, really anus, then the assumption is, obviously also, my love hu adin l'chala, that also if he were sick and didn't get there from a less severe onus, also we would assume it's a get. And therefore, what do you see from here? If he's sick, right, it doesn't matter. Ein onus begin, right? It doesn't matter, it's still a get. Which again goes against Rava, who says, according to this reading, yesh onus begin. So then they say, lo. This case has absolutely nothing to do with someone who's sick, okay? Why? It's made dafka. It's only in a case where the guy dies that we say hareze get. And why is that? Because the assumption is, why did he say this? Hareze get me'achshavim lo batz mikam ad shnei masar chodesh. Because he was worried that maybe he would die. And what didn't he want? Delo nichale detipol kamei yabam. He didn't want her to marry his brother in Yibum. So he basically said, if I'm to die, your get is going to be good from now, in which case it'll work, in which case she has a get, in which case she doesn't have to do Yibum. But that teaches us absolutely nothing about our case that we were looking to, which is about someone who's sick, because there's no issue of her falling to a Yabam if he's sick. It's just not relevant. So again, all these cases, we're talking about mate. We tried to conclude with them something, conclude from them something about sickness. We said, no, all these cases are specifically geared towards death cases and have nothing to do with sick cases. Okay, now we're going to try to learn it from the case of that happened in the time of the Amoraim. Tashma, let's learn from here that we have a difficulty for Rafa. Me'ahu de'amar lehu, he said to the witnesses, ilo atina mikam ba'ad shloshim yom lehavi gita. Right, if I don't show up in another 30 days, this should be a get, right? Give it to my wife. Anta b'self talten yomu paskem ma'abara, right? He gets there after 30 days and the water overflowed and he can't get there. Va'amar lehu chazu da'atai, look, you see, I'm coming. Va'amar shmua lo shmei matya, right? So again, what do you see here? Ein onus begitin. Okay, and that goes against Rava, who said, yesh onus begitin, because his taina that I tried to get there doesn't count. But then they say, no, again, onse d'shchiach shane, this kind of onus is different. Why? D'kevan di baile latznuye velo atzne iuhu da'afsid nafshe. This is a very commonplace onus, and therefore he should have put it in his tonight. He should have said, if I don't come from now within 30 days, or if something, you know, like a river coming or some typical onus got in my way, right, this will be a get. And since he didn't say that, it's his tough luck, basically. Hu da'afsid nafshe, he becomes, right, it becomes his problem. And therefore, it's not a get. It is a get. Okay, so now in the end we say, so again, that doesn't teach us anything about a regular onus case, because this is not a typical onus case. Okay? And therefore, it doesn't teach us anything about onus begin. That's the end of the sugya. Okay? So what's the conclusion? So the conclusion does not appear in the Gemara. Okay? But if you look at the sugya, there's a drop of imbalance. Because if you look, right? So look at my chart. We had question, right? We had all these questions from these sources. We tried to explain them, right? In the end, we rejected them. But in the last sugya, the first one we learned, where Rava says, Ein onus begitin, it says that Rava svara de nafshei kamar, and explained that mishum prutzo, mishum tsnuot, and it gave a very good logical explanation as to why we should say Ein onus begitin. By the way, I didn't mention this, but in the sugya in Gittin, where Afkeinu Rabbanan, Mekidusha Mine, comes up, there's two possible reasons given in the Gemara as to what the issue is. And one says it's agunot, and one says it's mamzerut. In other words, they're concerned for mamzerut and agunot. And here, you see they're concerned for both. Like, that's always their motivating factor. Is it a mamzerut problem or an aguna problem? And because of that, and by the way, the sugya in Gittin that I taught last night only quotes Rava saying, Ein onus begitin. It doesn't make any mention that there's this other version of Rava. Okay? And basically, they paskin like Rava that Ein onus begitin. Okay? We basically hold Ein onus begitin, and we don't accept a tain of onus, really, for this issue of the Mamzerud and Aguna.
Why does the Gemara sort of leave us hanging?
The Gemara always leaves us hanging, almost. It's very rare the Gemara brings a psak. I'll tell you, sometimes they don't, and often when they don't, it's not the people who are arguing about it that don't. It's a later addition to the Gemara. Often when the Gemara says, Hilchata, kiss somebody, it's someone who came later. Sometimes it was the Svaraim, who were the time period at the end of the Amoraim from 500 to 800. They had a lot of notes on the side of the Gemara, and when the printer printed them, or not even the printer, it was even before that, at a certain point over time, their notes got incorporated into the text. Okay, so there's a few, I mean, this is like a big thing in the academic world. They all talk about this, but I remember when I was in university, they showed us cases where the Rishonim actually say it. Like the Rishonim will say, there's even one case, I think it's the Ramban, where he says that line, Hilchata, this, was written by Rav Hai Gaon, which is the Gaonim, which is even later. Okay, the Gaon, Rav Hai Gaon, I think he was in the early, I don't remember, but no, Rav Hai Gaon, I think it's later even. Gaonim is 800 to 1,000. Like one of the Rishonim says this was added by one of the Gaonim.
But how can these be used as sources? Like set the supplemental, I mean, if they're arguing, how can you say which source is correct? Are you just allowed to choose?
So that's the job that the Rishonim did. In other words, and the Gaonim, like they looked at the text and said, how can we conclude from here what we do? And that's why we have different Sakim in Ashkenaz and Sfarad and different, you know, rabbis, because they read the text in a different way and they conclude differently from the text what the halacha is. So it's part of what provides the openness of it. And even sometimes when something's not accepted la halacha, sometimes if there's other opinions, they'll say, oh, well, if this is the situation, this is something anyway, we'll go by that. Or we'll, you know, it's what allows for the whole beauty of, you know,
or the confusion.
Or the confusion. Definitely true that there's confusion as a result. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So anyway, it's inconclusive. Mm-hmm. But the I think all the mefarshim in this case, I think it's pretty conclusive that everyone accepts Ein onus begitin. Okay, now we're going to go back to our Mishnah. Remember our Mishnah said you get married on Wednesday because the Batei Din are open on Thursday and Monday, right? But the Monday was a little less relevant. Now we're going to have Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is going to say something about this Mishnah. He's going to basically narrow the focus of it. I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Lo Shanu Elami Takanat Ezra Ve'elach. Ezra made a takana that we're going to have Batei Din on Monday and Thursday. That was his takana. Before that, the Batei Din met whenever there was a need. So basically, in those days, you didn't need to get married on a particular day. If you had a need, you came the next morning, the Beit Din would convene. Okay? So, he says, Aval Kodem Takanat Ezra... Shem batei din kfuin ela b'sheni v'chamishi. Aval kodem takanat Ezra shebatei din kfuin b'chol yom ishani se b'chol yom. Here they don't necessarily mean b'chol yom; it just means potentially every day they could have met. So therefore, ishani se b'chol yom. So the Gemara says, well, kodem takanat Ezra my dehava hava. Why are you telling us this, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak? We're already past takanat Ezra. Why are you telling us something that happened so many years ago? You're just telling us for historical purposes. This isn't a history book. So what is the answer? No, hachi kamar. I ika batei dinin dikfuin ha'idna ki kodem takanat Ezra ishani se b'chol yom. Okay? If a time were to be, not now obviously they're saying, but at some future point, we were going to not have batei dinim only on Monday, Thursday, but any day of the week, kind of like today, right? The batei din are open every day. So, ishani se b'chol yom. Okay, I don't know how you get an appointment from today till tomorrow, but but basically, they're open. If there were a time where there wasn't Beit Din in Monday, Thursday, then you'd be allowed to get married any day. So then they say, wait, But wasn't there another consideration? Habi'inan shakdu? Don't we need that the man, right, shakdu, the rabbis were concerned for B'nai Yisrael, and they made it that the husband, right, worked for 3 days before preparing the suda, either so he doesn't divorce her right away, or, you know, try to claim ta'anat betulim, or because he, again, it just eluded me, I had it in my head a second ago, what did I say? Because, we want to make sure that he's misameach ishto b'sheva brachot. So they say, detarech le. In other words, you can get married any day of the week if you want, as long as you know he put effort into the suda. Okay? He could have done it before Shabbat. He could have done it, right? They could get married Friday, in which case he had 3 days earlier in the week to do it. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, very strangely, because we already learned this,
you couldn't get married Shabbat because you wouldn't want to go to the courts on Shabbat.
You couldn't get married what?
On Friday.
Right. Friday would be an issue. Okay? My shakdu, well, there's a separate issue Friday. We'll get to this also. Okay, my shakdu, what is this shakdu? Which we already know, okay? But what they're going to do is they're going to bring the brayta we saw already, and then there's other parts of the brayta, and we're basically going to spend the rest of today figuring out what do these other parts mean. Mipnei ma'amru betulani set, sorry, detanya, there's a brayta. Mipnei ma'amru betulani set liyom arevi, shimayalo tana betulim ayamashkim lebeit midrash vetin, lebeitin, sorry. Then the brayta asks, "Betina say becha b'Shabbat." So then she should get married also on Sunday. V'mayalo tana petulim ayamashkim lebeitin. So then the answer: Shagdu chachamim al takanat b'no Yisrael shehe adam torech b'suda shlosha yamim echa b'Shabbat b'sheni b'Shabbat b'shlishi b'Shabbat ubirivii konsa. Okay, that's basically what we learned, that they wanted him to be torech for 3 days to prepare the suda. Now they start teaching us some other things, and this is a bit of a history lesson. Umisakana va'elach, from the time of danger, and from then on, nahagu ha'am lichnos b'shlishi, v'lo michu b'yadam chachamim. There was some danger, and because of that, from when we had this time of danger, people started doing it on Tuesday. Okay, we don't know yet why, and the chachamim didn't stop them. U'b'sheni lo yichnos. Okay, but they can't do it on Monday. Be'im machmata ones mutar. But if it's because of ones, then it's mutar. I want you, the Gemara is going to already stress this, but I want you to notice the dissymmetry or asymmetry in this thing. Okay, we have, okay, I'll set it up on the board, it'll be clearer. We have mishat sakana, okay? Mishat sakana, what do we say? Nahagu ha'am v'lo michu bahem chachamim. Okay, from the time of danger, they started to do it on Yom Shlishi, right? And lo michu biyadam chachamim. The chachamim didn't stop them. And then it says, b'pnei ha'ones mutar. Okay, you see the difference between nahagu and mutar, and the difference between sakana and ones. So we're going to get to that right now. Okay, or soon. So now, what do they say? Then there's another line. U'mafrishina tachatam mina kala lele shabbat tchila. Let's say they were to get married on Friday. Okay? Or let's say, okay, and this was common, that they didn't necessarily have sex the first night. So let's say they don't have sex the first night. Let's say they get married on a Wednesday or on a Tuesday or whatever it is, and they don't have sex until Friday night. They say, don't have sex on Friday night, tchila. Why? Because he tears her hymen and they'll be bleeding, and you're not allowed to injure someone on Shabbat. You're not allowed to cause bleeding. So because of that, they recommended not, right? They were mafrish. They were separated them. Okay, what exactly that means, I don't know. Did they, you know, make sure they were in separate bedrooms, or, you know, I don't know who's making sure, or just they tell them, don't have sex the first time on a Friday night, because mipnei shua se chabua. Okay, that's the end of the bright. And now we're going to get into my sakana. What's the danger? Ilema da'amre betulani se liyama rabi'i tehareg. Nahagu legamre niakre. If you're going to say that betulot that were getting married on a Wednesday were killed by the enemy, okay, well then, that wouldn't be nahagu. You wouldn't say, well, the am nahagu, right? You would say that the chachamim were okir legamre this minhag, right? You'd have to say, the chachamim came and said, no, don't do this, okay? It's not just, oh, nahagu am, and the rabbis didn't stop them. So it can't be that they were going to die. So amarabba da'amre betula nahanisei b'yamar v'i tiba'el lehegmon tchila. Okay, here this goes back to someone brought up earlier, that they said that anyone who was getting married on Yom Revi'i had to sleep with the ruler of the town first. Now why on Yom Revi'i specifically? Because the assumption is that he knew that everyone gets married on Yom Revi'i. So he would come to the town on Tuesday night knowing he could find these betulot the night before their wedding, rape them, and then, you know, move on. So now, what do they say? Hi, sakana. That's not danger. That's onesu, right? There's a difference between ones and getting killed, right? Sakana means danger, like danger of life. This isn't a life-endangering situation, so the word sakana isn't the right word. It should have said mipnei ha-ones, okay? Now, you could disagree with that, whether rape is, right? I think in general there was an assumption that rape was a sexual crime. I always remember learning in high school, I had a teacher, and she said, you know, I want this ingrained in your head, rape is a crime of violence, right? It's not a sexual crime. But I think the Gemara's tfisa, I think that's a more modern approach, and the Gemara's approach was that it was a sexual crime, and therefore it's in a different category from danger, whereas now you might call it danger. Yeah.
But I think the reason that these kings or noblemen did this, I mean, the crime was also against the men, because these women belong to the men.
Right,
and
yes.
So it's...
right, but it's still not called sakana.
Right.
That's what the Gemara is saying. This isn't danger.
From that point of view, it wasn't a sakana.
Right, yeah, fair.
It was looking at it from the men's point of view.
Uh-huh.
It was
kind of a way to get against the men and say, I'm more powerful than you. Mm-hmm. Right, a power game. Anyway, so what do we say? So they say, no. We'll explain how this onus turned into sakana. Mishum de'ikat tznuot de'masran nafshayhu lekatla va'at elidei sakana. There were some tznuot who refused to have sex with him. So basically then it became a dangerous situation. Okay, it was onus that led to sakana. So then they should say, belidrush lehu de'onus shari. So then they should have... Okay, so now why were they letting themselves get killed? Because what did they think? They thought... mistakenly, okay, we learned this already, that if a woman gets raped, we already learned that if a woman goes and sleeps with someone, biratzon, okay, in her own will, while she's engaged to someone, she can't go back to him and she can't go back to the first husband either. But if she's raped, she's allowed to go back to her husband, except for, right, unless he's a Kohen. So now the Gemara says, so why don't Ulidrash, so these women thought that they wouldn't be allowed to marry their husbands. So because of that, they were Moser Nafsham. So then they say, "Belidrus lehu de onashari." Why didn't they teach them that it's mutar, so that they would know the halacha, and then they would allow themselves to be raped? So they say, "Ikaprutzot vikanami kohanot." Okay, let's start with the last one first. It's easier. There were some kohanot, but not right. The women who were engaged to kohanim would not be allowed to go back to their husbands. So therefore, it did affect some of them in this way. And number two, there were prutzot who would say, "Oh, well, if onus is mutar, well, then maybe also if I do it willingly," and they would do it willingly. What's interesting, I think, is you seem to see this theme of the tznuot and the prutzot, right? It puts the women into categories of there's those who are tznuot and those who are prutzot. It's interesting. It seems to recur in the Gemara here. Okay, so then they say Billy Apre. So again, why is it Nahagu? Why did the rabbi say this is a bad situation? It's leading to women who are Moser Nafsham, right? They should have gotten rid of the Gzera. So what, the Takana of the getting married on Wednesday. So what do they say? Gzera Abide de Batla, Utakanta de Rabbanan, Mekame Gzera Lo Akrina. This is an interesting one. The sense is that this Gzera at some point will go away, and they didn't want to be Oker, the takana of the Chachamim of Wednesday, because at some point they wanted it to last, they wanted it to outlast the Gzerah. The Gzerah, you know, this was what was going on right now. Another 100 years or 50 years, and there'll be a different ruler. He won't be doing this. And they didn't want to uproot the takana that they made. So when the Am did it, they said, fine, no problem. But they didn't want to do it themselves, because then it would never come back. So then, ihachi b'shlishinami ate ubal. So why didn't why did the guy come on shlishi? Once they started switching the date to shlishi, now remember, nahagua am means some people did, some people didn't. Okay, so now why wouldn't he come on switch his night and come on Monday nights? So what do they say? Mispekalo akar nafshe. If he wasn't sure if someone was really going to get married, when everyone got married one day of the week, it was very easy. He would come to the town on that night and rape the women. But that night, right, once it was maybe Monday night, maybe Tuesday night, he didn't know. So he basically, right, I'm always counting the night before they got married, right? That's why I'm saying Monday, Tuesday as opposed to Tuesday, Wednesday. So he wouldn't come just out of suffering. So now we're going to go to the next line. Ubesheni lo yichnos ve'im machmata ones mutar. So you can't do it on Monday, but if it's because of ones mutar. So now they say my ones, What's the onus? Ile mahadamarat. If it's what we were just talking about, hatam kari le sakana. They just called it sakana, right? They make a distinction between sakana and onus. Sakana is the hegemon coming to rape these women. So what's onus? It can't be the same thing. Vitu, and additionally, hatam nahagu and hacha mutar. There it said nahagu and here mutar. So it can't be the same thing because otherwise it wouldn't have said mutar. It would have said nahagu. So amarava de amre sartsava balair. Here it was an issue not of sex, but of food. By the way, you see this all the time. These are like two motivating factors in the Gemara. These are the things that motivate people, food and sex. So we have the sex issue. Now we're moving to the food issue. When the Sartzava comes to the city, what does he do? He takes all the food. You've been preparing for this wedding suit, all right? You got all your preparation, all your food. You've been cooking for 3 days, as we saw. And then the Sartzava comes and takes all their food, okay? So now, Hechigami, what's the case? Id atev chalif liakev. If it's that the Sartzava is coming to the city for the day, right? He's going to come in and leave. Well, then don't push it off till Monday. Push it off till next week, right? You hear the Sartzava is coming to the city, so you push off your wedding for a week, okay?
And don't prepare the food.
Right, well, right. If you know he's coming, don't prepare the food. Wait till the following week, right? Because they didn't have refrigerators. So the assumption is you knew he was coming at the beginning of the week. So you push off your wedding another week, and that way you don't have to do it on a Monday. But they say, lo tzricha da'ate v'kava b'shlishi. Okay, it means that he was coming and he was staying. Lo tzricha da'ate v'kava, nikuda. Okay, that he was coming to stay. Okay, so now they say, b'shlishi mi'alichnos. So what do they say? But then you should do it on Tuesday, not on Wednesday, right? He's coming on Wednesday, the assumption is. So what do they say? Aspar v'dide b'shlishi ka'atu. Okay, he sends his foot soldiers in first, you know, or his, right? The first people come on Tuesday and they start stealing all the food for him. He's like the big guy, right? He shows up on Wednesday and everything's all set up for him. So therefore, Tuesday wasn't good either. I don't know why this particular case ended up specifically on a Wednesday, but maybe Wednesday was like a common day that they would come to the city and on Tuesday the guys would come before and they would start taking. So basically, they had to move it because of onus earlier to Wednesday. And then it was mutar already because they were going to take all the food. Okay, we're going to stop here, and then tomorrow we'll see another possible reason for the onus. Okay, what onus could mean, that maybe it's not that he was taking the food, but it was something else.